Thank you guys so much. Sarah, would you mind just coming up here real quick? Guys, it's such a privilege to be here, and I know that as a church, as a leadership, we're super excited to be connecting with you guys, and the feeling is very much mutual. We just love you guys, and it's so fun to be around you and to see the passion you have for Jesus. I know it's surprising to say, but I get to travel around a lot, and some places are struggling to be passionate about Jesus, and you guys definitely aren't, and that is so lovely to see, and really expectant this morning, so it's such a privilege to be here, so thank you for having us. I'm just asked Sarah to bring a word that I think links in real significantly with what I'm going to share, and she didn't know what I was going to share, so that's always good, isn't it, when Jesus speaks, so go for it.
Okay, so as we were praying before we came in this morning, reminded of a picture that I saw yesterday, and it was a picture of a lion cub, and it was looking in a large puddle on the floor, and the reflection looking back was of a fully grown lion. And I just really felt that for you guys, that's it's for you that you look in the mirror and you might think you're one thing, that you're like the lion cub, but actually what's looking back at you is the way, that's how God sees you. You are lions. And yeah, he's got so much for you. And it's about something about grasping your true identity. Yeah, see yourself as he sees you. You are powerful and mighty, and he's going to do great things through you guys. How exciting.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Awesome. Well, I'm excited about this morning, and but I'm very aware of the need of the Holy Spirit to bring revelation for what I'm going to talk about, because it's too big for our small brains to understand. I'm going to talk about our identity in Christ, and I love to talk about this topic because I've found for myself how massive it changes people, how much of a big deal it is, because often what I find is, as believers, we know the truth about who God says we are in our heads, but unless you've had revelation from the Holy Spirit that puts it in your heart, it doesn't change your behavior. And what I've realized is that when we really begin to understand, and actually I think it's a lifelong journey, so I am still on this journey of understanding the truth about who I am now that I'm in Christ. But when we understand the reality of who Jesus says we are now that we are in Christ, now that we are brand new creations, now the old us has died and we have become brand new creations who are free from accusation, who are holy and blameless before God, who are ambassadors of Christ, who are seated in heavenly places, when we understand that stuff through revelation of the Holy Spirit, it changes everything. And I'm passionate about talking about this because I know that the enemy is on a mission to stop believers believing this stuff. One of the biggest things that the enemy does is he comes to lie to us about our identity. I don't know if you've noticed that. I don't know if you realize that. But often, the thing that holds believers back from the very significant call that God has placed on their life are things like, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, they're better than me, I haven't got what it takes, and all that kind of stuff. And it's a scheme of the enemy to immobilize the church. And I'm on a bit of a mission to stop that happening. Okay, because actually, the reality is that every single person in this room has a significant calling on their life. You know, we had during the worship brilliant words about the valley of dry bones and God saying to Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones, and God bringing form and then life into the bones. And then we had the follow-on prophetic word about us bringing life to the city. And actually, as believers, we are called to bring life wherever we go. And we're called to see transformation wherever we go. But what I've realized is that it starts with us being fully alive and understanding who we are. What often happens is that believers don't really get who they are and try to bring life, and they get burnt out because they're just trying really hard. Whereas if you do it from knowing who you are and what you carry, it's fun. Amen. And it's light. And when Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, it's actually true. It's amazing, isn't it? And often, as believers, we're just trying really hard to make a difference. And what God is asking us to do is know who you are, rest in the truth of your sonship and of your daughterhood, and recognize that wherever you go, you take the Lord with you. Amen. And opportunities open up, and we get to speak truth, and we get to see lives changed when you understand who you are. I'm just going to say it one more time in case you can't quite believe in me. Every single person in this room is called to walk a significant walk with the Lord. Every single person in this room is called to have influence. Every single person in this room is called to release God's kingdom and demonstrate his goodness wherever you go. What's happened in the past is we've relied on one or two representatives, people usually who are up front, and we've just assumed, well, they're the ones who bring the power. We just get to sit on a chair on a Sunday, and then we go back to our normal life and come back again. That's not what Jesus intended. Jesus' intention was that he would pass the baton to every believer. That the life that Jesus lived and what he demonstrated, what he modeled, healing the sick, raising the dead, seeing people set free, seeing people come into fullness of life, was possible for every believer. And I just reckon if every believer in every church really understood that, Jesus would come back quicker. And the key thing is understanding our identity. And recognizing that the classic scheme of the enemy is to lie to us about how powerful we are and how important we are and how significant we are. And the sad thing is, and I know this is true because I live it, and I'm trying to change on this, is that many Christians are listening to the lies of the enemy over and above the truth about what God says. It's a problem that we're gonna change this morning. The enemy will be lying to you about all sorts of stuff to do with yourself, and I'm going to tell you some truth. And I want to encourage you guys this morning and for the rest of your journey with Jesus to reject the lies of the enemy and take hold of what God says about you. Because what God says about you is true. Whether you feel it is or not is irrelevant. It's true. Okay? So, you guys ready? And then we'll see what Jesus wants to do. So, we are going to look at the baptism of Jesus, Mark chapter 1, and we're going to see what we can learn about our identity from the life of Jesus. And I really am expecting that life is going to flow as a result of this. I feel like God is going to breathe something on you guys. Something that I carry, something as a team that we carry, and there's going to be life that begins to flow. So you can get excited about that at any point. I'm joking. Okay. So Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And so this is the baptism of Jesus. It says this, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Just love that interaction between the Father and Jesus. "You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." And I want us to learn a few things about our identity from that encounter that Jesus had with his Father, because the truth is, you and I are now in Christ. I don't understand it because it's just too big for my brain to understand. But by revelation, let's try and take hold of this. We are in Christ. So when the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. So what was true of the Father speaking over Jesus is true of what the Father speaks over us, because we are in Christ. It's just true, believe me. Try and get your head around it. We are in Christ. What the Father says of Jesus is true of you and me. So we can learn some things from this interaction. The first thing is this: we are God's beloved sons and daughters. We are God's beloved sons and daughters. If you just understood that about yourself, it would change everything. Just meditate on that for the next 50 years. It will change everything. I did a search of synonyms that are synonyms of the word beloved, just to kind of unpack it a bit more. And these words came up: precious, adored, dearly loved, cherished, treasured, prized, the apple of one's eye, the object of one's affection. You and I are the object of the Father's affection. We are sons and daughters of the God of the universe. Do you know how crazy that is? That's mad. And we say it so glibly. Oh yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a son or a daughter of God. But we need to pray for revelation of what that really means. Revelation, first of all, of how huge God is. And then revelation of the implications of being his son or daughter. It's massive. It's massive. I'm realizing recently that my view of God is way too small. It's so easy to shrink God down to fit into your brain, isn't it? Oh, God is a person like me. No. He's massive. He's huge. He's perfect in every way. He's full of love, perfect in love and grace and mercy and kindness and power and authority. He's huge and he's your dad. That's big. That's huge. You are his beloved son or daughter. You're not just this random person who happened to stumble across God. He chose you, adopted you to be his son or daughter. It's a massive deal. Changes everything. Brings security, brings peace, brings faith, brings expectation, brings a lightness, brings joy. I mean, it changes everything when you understand who your dad is. You see why we need revelation? We can know this stuff in our heads. We need it in here. We are God's beloved sons and daughters. And that's only one thing that the Bible says. I mean, the Bible is packed full of truth about our identity. There's so much for us to meditate on. Second thing we can learn from Jesus' interaction with his Father is this: God is well pleased with us. God is well pleased with you. You might think, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? God is well pleased with you. Your identity, the moment you said yes to Jesus, your identity was totally transformed. Totally transformed. God is well pleased with you. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you took a moment to listen out for the pleasure of your Father? Have you ever done that? Listening out for the well done of your Father changes everything. I don't know about you, if you're anything like me, if ever I do something for Jesus or if ever I try and step out for him, the first voice I listen to after doing it is myself. I don't know if you're like that. And I kind of assess myself and think of all the things I should have done that I didn't do. Anyone relate? And I kind of beat myself up. I'm trying to learn the discipline of first going to my Father. Father, what do you think? It's always much better to hear what the Father thinks first. And you know, when you understand who God says you are, it breaks off this terrible thing that we often fall into, which is the comparison trap. I'm sure none of you in this room ever compare yourselves, but just in case you do, let me tell you that it is a scheme of the enemy to get you to compare yourself with the other people around you. Let me tell you this, you are not meant to be anybody else. God has planned your life around you, and he knows best. And the life he has planned for you is the best life for you to live. What we often do is we spend all of our time looking to our right and looking to our left and thinking they're much better than us and wishing we were more like them and wishing we were less like us because look at those people. And what happens is we look to the left and to the right and we forget to look where we're meant to be looking, which is to Jesus. Focusing on Jesus. And what the enemy does is when he gets you to compare with other people, it slows you down from running the race he's called you to run. Hebrews says, run with perseverance, the race marked out for you, not the race marked out for your partner. So often we wish our race looked more like other people's. So my question to you is, when did you last thank God for the race he's called you to run? When did you thank God, I'm so grateful that you've got me running this race and it looks like this? I love that. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad I'm not you. Well done. I'm joking a little bit, but it's so important. You shouldn't want to be the person on your left or right. You are called to be you. You have not got the grace to be me. I've not got the grace to be you. Just love being you. God has given you the grace to be you. And who you are is exactly who you're meant to be. And God has called you specifically, placed you where you're living, the workplace you're in, the family you're in, the people you've got around you, to represent Jesus in that place. And if you're looking constantly to the left or to the right, you're missing what God has got right in front of your face. Don't compare yourself with the people around you. Don't compare the bigness of what you're doing to those around you. It says in one of the Gospels, Jesus said, if you bring a cup of water in Jesus' name, it's like you're bringing the kingdom. I'm paraphrasing. But he's basically saying, don't look at the big stuff and discount yourself. If you speak a word of encouragement to someone, you're representing the goodness of God. So, you guys, am I getting through? Everyone happy? Okay. So, we are God's beloved sons and daughters. He's well pleased with us. Listen out for his well done. And thirdly, we can understand this. Our identity in Christ is not based on anything we've done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Our identity has been totally transformed, and it's nothing to do with us. It's all because of what Jesus has done. And that is amazing. I remember reading this many years ago, when God started to speak to me about it, thinking, I would have had a problem with what God said had I been there. Because I don't know if you realize this, but the Father told Jesus that he was well pleased with him before he'd done anything. And if you realize that, he hadn't started his earthly ministry yet. And the point at which the Father chooses to tell the Son, I'm well pleased with you, is before he's done anything. He's not healed anybody, he's not preached any sermons, he's not multiplied any food, he's not raised anyone from the dead, he's been baptized. That's all. And I would have had a problem with that because I would have said, Father, why this moment? Surely you should have waited until he's done some more impressive things to tell him that you're really pleased with him. And the reason I would have thought that is because we live in a society that teaches us that our value and our significance is totally related to our performance, what we do, and that we are valued and significant because of what we do. It's to do with our performance. And it's this, what society teaches us, and it's often also infiltrates the church, that you are seen as more valuable or significant if you do significant and valuable stuff. And you know, if you believe that, it's great all the time you're performing well. It will really do you well. All the time you're doing well, you're performing well, and you're bringing your prophetic stuff, and you're getting it right, and you're living the right kind of life, you will feel good about yourself. But when you then make a mistake or mess up or get something wrong, suddenly you will feel terrible about yourself and feel like you've messed up big time and you're a big failure. Here's the deal. Your identity in Christ, the fact that you are a beloved son or daughter of God, is nothing to do with what you do. It's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's why grace is so outrageous. You could go out of this place and make the biggest mistake of your life, even commit the biggest sin of your life, and your identity wouldn't change. Your identity is not based on your not sinning. Is that okay to say here? That's grace. Now, does it mean that you go out and do whatever you want? No, because your brand new identity in Christ means that you are more predisposed to honor God now. Sin is not appealing anymore. What the point I'm trying to make is that you can't do anything to lose who you are now in Christ because you didn't do anything to get it in the first place. It's all a gift of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's amazing. It changes everything. When you know that God is proud of you just because he's proud of you, you can step out and take a risk for God to bring his kingdom. You can bring a prophetic word and get it totally wrong and not be rocked because you know your father is still proud of you and you're still his beloved son or daughter. And you can step out and get a prophetic word totally right and not get puffed up because you know it's all because of his grace. It makes living much more fun when you know that Jesus loves you, no matter what you do. It's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's all because of his grace. Your identity has been totally transformed because of his sacrifice, because of what he did. And I remember having a breakthrough moment of this when I brought a song once in a worship time. And I went up to the front and I took the mic and I started singing the song. And the band were playing really quietly, and so I started really quietly. But then as I was singing, I just began to get more passionate. And so I began to raise my volume of the song I was singing, and I was thinking in my head, any minute now, the band are going to hear that I'm getting louder. And what's going to happen is they're going to hear that I'm getting louder, and then they're going to build with me, and there's going to be this beautiful crescendo of passion for Jesus. And what's going to happen is I'm going to get louder, they're going to get louder, and Holy Spirit's going to break in. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm singing, any minute now, they're going to notice that I'm getting louder. What actually happened is I got louder and louder and the band stayed really quiet. And I got to the end of the song and I handed the microphone back and I went to my seat on the front row and I sat down and I burst into tears. I felt so embarrassed. And then this thought process went in my head, oh my goodness, Wendy, what was that? That was terrible. You're meant to be a leader in this church. What were you doing? You were shouting over the microphone. God's left the room. What's happened? I don't know if you can relate to this. I had this cycle of and I was just listening to these thoughts. And then I had a breakthrough moment because I felt like the Father come and sit next to me and he had his arms folded. And he leant over to me and he just said, well, I liked it. And I just started to laugh, and I suddenly realized I'd been doing it to perform for everybody else, and I'd forgotten that actually it's all about my Father. And he loved it. He loved it. I tell you what, we've got to understand that who we are and God's pleasure over us is totally secure, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. It just makes living as a Christian a whole lot more fun because you realize there's no pressure on you. So often we are performing to try and be who everyone else wants us to be or who we think everyone else wants us to be. And in the midst of trying to please everybody else, we lose who we really are. And God is wanting to bring freedom to us so that we can just love who he says we are, love who he's made us to be, live the life that he's called us to, and love it, and know his pleasure and delight over us because we're saying yes to him. Just take a deep breath in. It's time to let go of trying really hard. And to know that the Father is well pleased with you. When you understand that, it changes everything. Changes everything. What happens is, as we go on a journey of asking the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to us about who we really are, it's a lifelong journey. What happens is life will flow. Life will flow. The more I understand who God says I am, the more I fall in love with him. Because I'm like, this is outrageous. Some people say, actually, if you focus too much on identity, you'll become proud. We shouldn't talk too much about who we really are now because we don't want to be proud. I have found the opposite to be true. The more I understand who God says I am, the more I'm in awe of him. Because it's outrageous what he's done for me and how he's transformed my life. When you understand who you are, life flows. When you understand that who you are doesn't depend on anything you do, but it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross, you know a lightness and a joy in walking the walk that God's got for you that rubs off on those around you. People are looking for happy Christians. So often when the world meets Christians, they meet people who are uptight. I know, because I used to be that person. When you understand you're loved by your Heavenly Father, full stop, makes you happy. Yeah. Takes the pressure off. And you guys are doing a phenomenal work here. This is a room full of powerful people called by God to make a difference. And the pressure is not on you. Your main job is to learn what it means to be a son or daughter. The Father will do everything else as you say yes to him. Why don't we stand together? Thank you, Father. Thanks, Dad. Just receive from the Father. I'm gonna trust that revelation has come as I've spoken, but I'm just gonna pray for great revelation to break in. I need it still. This is a lifelong journey. Father, thank you.
Whoa.
Thank you for your presence here, God. Thank you for your presence here, God. Thank you for your presence here, God. Just come. Increase your presence, Holy Spirit, all around the room. Thank you, Father, you've spoken about life coming. And we just prophesy life all around the room. We speak to dry bones. And we just prophesy life. I just want to pray, Papa, that you would lift off any pressure that we are putting on ourselves to be a certain way. And I just prophesy lightness and fun. Fun. Just let him come to you. Let him come to you.
Amen. Amen.